Aloha Kauai, this is Rachel from Kauai Invasive Species Committee. Invasive species can threaten native ecosystems, biodiversity, agriculture, and our quality of life. We are asking you to help be Kauai's eyes and ears for invasive species. Some we can hear, like the koki frog, and some we can feel, like the tree-dwelling little fire ant that can fall on us and leave powerful stings for up to 2 weeks. Invasive species are everyone's kuleana. If you see or hear the koki frog or little fire ant, please give us a call at 821-1490 or email me at kisk@hawaii.edu. That's kisk@hawaii.edu.
Mahalo Tahiti Nui, Heaven on Earth, Dr. Vasco, and the Kauai Invasive Species Committee. I have one quick announcement to make before we go into our Makai Watch program, and this is regarding Pu'u'opai Road. It is closed as of 10:30 this morning due to a large fallen tree. It is currently closed, and motorists are asked to seek alternate routes to get to their destinations in the area. County and KIUC personnel are working to clear the roadway. An update will be sent out when new information is received.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song side by side.
Aloha. Welcome to Makai Watch, a program about the aina, defined as that which feeds us. This program focuses on information and opportunities for community involvement in the stewardship of our resources on Kauai, Makai, toward the ocean, as all things flow to the sea, and the sea is connected to you and me. If you're interested in volunteering for the Hanalei Makai Watch program, please contact the Hanalei Watershed Hui at 826-1985. The Hanalei Makai Watch program publishes the Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, now in its fourth printing. We hope you are enjoying your copy of the 2015 calendar. If you have comments about the content of our calendar, please let us know by calling 826-1985. I want to make sure you know that the 2016 edition is in development now, and we are ready to make some changes if folks have ideas about what they'd like to see in the new calendar. My name is Maka'ala. I'd like to thank KKCR for providing this program and Laura Christine for engineering it. We'll be happy to take your calls after we've introduced our subject for today. You can call us at 826-7771. Some of you, at least most of you on Kauai, know that the Hanalei Watershed Hui, in cooperation with the Hanalei Tuhaena Community Association, has developed a disaster resilience plan for the North Shore of Kauai. And in the process, one of the pukas, one of the holes, one of the gaps that was identified as a need for our community was better emergency urgent care. We don't have a facility really on the North Shore. If your injury or situation occurs during regular business hours, there are doctors both in Princeville and in Kilauea that can see you. But if not, then it's a long ride to either Kapa'a or Lihue. And to address that issue, I'm very, very pleased to introduce you to someone who has become a friend of mine, who has an answer for that need and is working very hard to develop a center that will address some of those needs and others. His name is Ted Kimball. He's an MD, and he's currently an associate professor of surgery and emergency medicine and the co-director of the surgical ICU at the University of Utah Medical and the director of the surgical ICU at Salt Lake City Veterans Administration Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Kimball.
Thank you, Makala. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm glad you're calling in. We tried to arrange this on a time when you're here on island, but this is just this is easier for everyone. So I hope the phone connection works for you and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this. I want to talk a little bit about you and the team you've put together, but I think first we should start with the actual proposal. What are you proposing to do?
Well, this started a few years back, and has come together to a point now where I think we do have a solid proposal with a lot of detail and clarity, and that proposal is to build an urgent care facility that would serve the North Shore community. It would answer some of the concerns that you mentioned in your introduction that have to do with getting emergency care and urgent care in particular for members of the North Shore community in after hours or when they don't have an appointment to get in and meet with their primary care doctor. So fractures, lacerations, things like that, acute onset of illness that you just simply need to be able to get in and see a physician or a physician assistant quickly would be the paradigm that we're trying to create, and we're proposing to build this clinic on the North Shore right behind the Princeville Fire Station. We have acquired land there, and we hope to break ground this fall sometime.
It's a very exciting idea. I know that you have been on island. You've been coming to Kauai for a very long time, and we have lots of folks that say that. I've been coming to Kauai for a very long time, but you actually have been coming here for a long time and are a surfer to boot, right?
Yeah, I came as a young boy with my father for business there that he had on Kauai, and I've joked that the first naked woman that I had ever seen that wasn't my mother was on the Nepali Coast Trails, and that I had a couple of near misses with drowning in Hanalei Bay and near shark attack there. So those are all vivid memories of my youth, and we have been coming there for about 35 years. I have dear friends there in Hanalei and in Princeville, and I count now you among those friends.
Well, there's a good reference, and near shark attack and near drowning and one naked woman. Yes, that's motivation. I want to go back there. I think that in some of your, some people will recognize your voice and some people will recognize your name and the issue, because when you've been here, you have been allowing for opportunities to meet with people and talk with people, including Kilauea Neighborhood Association, et cetera. And there's been a little bit of controversy about the proposal just because it's somebody new and something different and maybe something not from here. But for the most part, the idea has been received very positively. I think people realize that this is something that is needed. And for the disaster resilience plan purposes, we also talk about some of the people that we know on the North Shore, way out at the end of the road, who have asthma and those kinds of things, and for whom a drive to Lihue is just not a good idea. Give me some idea. I heard the fractures and the lacerations, and we all know about the fevers that our little ones get that scare us. But give me some ideas. What can you do? What can't you do in an urgent care clinic?
Yeah, I think that's an important thing, because what we have done, as you mentioned, is that we spent nearly 2 years talking to the community. We wanted to be sure of two things. One, that we were going to do something that the community wanted and needed, and then secondly, something that the community could support. And so over those 2 years, what we were able to do was garnish that support to a level where we felt it was necessary for us to form a nonprofit organization, a 501c3 that was able to accept support, both financial and sweat equity support from the community, and then turn around and have what we provide be of benefit to the community above and beyond just the providing of medical care. And so we can maybe talk about some of those things secondarily in answer to other questions with regard to the disaster relief that we hope to be a part of. But to address your specific question of what we can and can't do, the real problem that we discovered and you have alluded to for the North Shore is if you have an after hours, in particular an after hours emergency, there's a great ambulance service, but it is limited. And if that ambulance happens to be on its way to Lihue already, then it's difficult to get another ambulance from Kapa'a or another part of the island to come all the way up to Hanalei or further down to Haena or other more remote towns along the North Shore. And so you have quite a wait. And there are disease processes, asthma, heart disease, stroke, those kinds of things that can't wait. The time is of the essence. And so the question in the community meetings that we've had is, you know, I mean, for some of those things, we need a large hospital. We need something that can be definitive in that kind of care. And what we don't want to portray is that we are going to be able to be the answer to all things. But what I would say is that the staffing that we're bringing to our urgent care will be approximately 20 to 25 board-certified emergency physicians that all work on the rest of the year in a level one trauma center. So they're used to managing at least, if not stabilizing, patients that have everything from A to Z, all of the problems that I just enumerated and more. And while we won't be a receiving facility, we won't be a hospital like Wilcox, nor will we try to supplant their role, we can only imagine that people will come walking in with symptoms, and they may not know what those symptoms are related to, and we find that they may be having a stroke or an acute coronary syndrome or heart attack. And rather than have no care for that, we could provide at least stabilizing care until we can get transport to Wilcox or, in some cases, even Wilcox has to transfer those patients all the way to Oahu. But time is always of the essence, and if we could stop bleeding, if we could give medications that thin the blood at a small amount to those patients to help better stabilize their condition, that's what we hope to do. Now, I say that carefully because we're not going to encourage ambulances to stop at our clinic. We're not going to encourage people who know what's happening to them that definitive care might occur at Wilcox to stop their arrival at Wilcox Hospital. But we know that many people who are not medical will knock on our door, will come in our door with those kind of problems. And what we don't want to do is turn them away. We want to be able to stabilize them. So I know that's a little bit of a long answer, but that's what the community has been asking of us, is to be able to have that kind of capacity. We hope to do so. We have the staffing to do so, and we hope to have even additional things in the future that will help with those kinds of problems, potentially even helicopter evacuation from the North Shore, as we've had a number of people want to partner with us in that possibility as well.
So this will be a place where there will be a fully qualified, certified doctor on duty at all times. And I personally have met the gentleman that's going to be kind of running things there in a managerial sort of way, who happens to also be an RN. Would you talk a little bit about Matt?
Yeah, so Matt Jenkins is a resident of Lihue, and he has been involved in healthcare on the islands for some time. He was the director for Hawaii Life Flight, and Matt and I also have been friends and known each other for some time, and we met back in Utah, where he is originally from. He is now working at KVMH, but will become, in time, working with us as a medical director and executive director, I should say, not medical director, of the clinic, and will kind of oversee the day-to-day logistics as well as work clinically as an RN in the clinic.
So he might very likely be the face that people would see first off the bat.
Correct. Yeah, Matt will be kind of the constant, if you will, personality that'll be there as we rotate physicians on a regular basis through the clinic.
We all know, those of us that live on the North Shore here, and this broadcast reaches online, it reaches global ears, but it also reaches many locations throughout our state, and there are places throughout Hawaii that are isolated like ours. And one of the behaviors that we tend to do when we live in these isolated rural communities is we tend to bundle whoever's hurt or sick up and throw them in the car and take off ourselves, because we think we're cutting the time in half, the time the ambulance gets to you, and in addition to turning around and taking you somewhere else. So I think that for many of us, at least on Kauai's North Shore, this will be a great comfort, that we will at least have a place we can stop and check. Maybe this is something we can continue to drive down to Wilcox with. Maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a good place for us to get an expert opinion before we, you know, bundle them on down the road. We do that a lot here, and I think you've heard that. And we do it out of what we think is efficiency. It may not always be, but I anticipate that'll be happening. It's not just the person coming in sick themselves, but those of us who are trying to help.
Yeah, let me just give you a couple of numbers that actually exemplify what you're talking about, Makala. The ambulances to the North Shore actually return empty about 17% more frequently than any other place on the island. And what that means is that because there isn't a place to go for those urgent needs, at least that's the perception of the community, they feel like they have to call an ambulance. And so they call 911. The ambulance shows up and recognizes that it's not a true emergency. It's more of an urgency, if you will. And they know that they can't take that ambulance out of circuit for the couple of hours it would take to drive all the way to Lihue to a receiving hospital. And so they, as I said, about 17% more frequently than any other place on the island, they return back to base empty. And in talking with the first responders, again, this was all part of our due diligence that we did, they estimate that about 50% of their calls, so one out of two calls, could have been handled at an urgent care, a facility that could do x-rays, take labs, take vital signs, bandage up, suture up, measure temperatures, do diagnostics, that about 50% of the time those calls could have been managed in urgent care. So our hope is that we would offload the EMS system with good education and recognition of where our urgent care is, about 50% of that load, and that would then spring that ambulance to be available for more true emergencies by 100%. You know, 50% of that, those patients now are hopefully coming to see us, and we'll take care of them, and they don't need to call an ambulance. And so just what you're articulating was borne out by the state trauma statistics and the EMS statistics as we did our research.
The other comment that I know you heard during the public discussion was, what about the regular docs that we have, you know, in our vicinity, in our community? Is this going to take, you know, patients away from their roles? Are they still, you know, going to be involved in this, in the management of this person's care? And it's something I really want to emphasize and hope you will, that when you show up at an urgent care facility because you need something and your own doc isn't available, doesn't mean you've taken them out of the circuit. In fact, there's a communication system, and you're going to have to help me. Is it EPIC?
That's correct.
It's EPIC, where docs can all communicate with one another. And I want to let folks know that for myself individually, I belong to a subscriber list called My Health Advantage. and through that website communicate with my, with all the docs that treat me for a variety of reasons, can do messaging and script prescriptions and all kinds of things. But everything that goes on there also goes into this Epic system. So if I were to show up at the urgent care clinic and have a history of something, 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 you would know it. In addition, whatever you see and you do would also be recorded in Epic, so that if this is something that's occurring at 11 o'clock at night on Saturday night, by Monday morning, your regular doc should have all that information. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's a very good summary of what the goal is. The devil is in the details of getting that all laid out, but I don't think it's going to be really difficult to implement. And so just to reflect on what you've said, thankfully, Wilcox Hospital has the electronic medical record, the proprietary electronic medical record produced by Epic, which is the largest EMR in the country. And one of the things that Epic provides is a out-of-system connectability for primary care physicians and urgent cares to connect in. And there's a monthly fee. It's not very significant. And I've spoken with the leadership at Wilcox, feeling very strongly about what you just described, and they have welcomed us to join that. And some of the other community physicians that I've spoken with have asked that we make that effort and subscribe to that, so we can do exactly what you've just described, that we would have records of people who are connected to a primary care physician for us when they come in after hours or potentially with an emergency, and when someone comes in with a urinary tract infection at midnight and we put them on antibiotics, their primary care physician can follow up in the next week with them and see that we put them on this type of antibiotic with this type of course. And then again, to emphasize the other thing you said is that we have no need or intention to play that primary care role. We would encourage those patients to return back to the long-term, important long-term care of their primary care physician.
In fact, you're not even going to offer that service. In fact, this isn't a place to go get the baby weighed. This is
right.
This is a place with an urgent need. We all know, most of us know, the urgent, you know, clinic that's down at Wilcox, if you can get yourself there. This is a little bit like that. If you think you've busted something or you think you have a serious problem. So nobody's proposing a new medical practice in the sense of a new physician's office or that kind of thing. It is a little confusing because we still call it a clinic. By the way, we have forgotten or not done, I didn't do, the name of this clinic, which I know you chose very carefully and got some good advice and counsel, and folks on the North Shore will not be surprised. Can you tell us the name?
So the name was Makana North Shore Urgent Care. And as you said, we having spent a lot of time in my youth and through my adult life on the islands, and understanding that names have a lot to do with a lot of things, we were very careful and methodical. We actually asked with your help permission to use that name. It has a lot of meaning on the North Shore. But ultimately for us, we hope to have significant amounts of our revenue generated from the clinic going back into the community. In fact, I have pro forma projections that I'm very excited about that will go back into the community in some of our community outreach efforts in the form of a gift. And Makana, meaning gift, is exactly what we hope to do.
So we're going to take, in a couple minutes, we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about that component, the community gift back. For those that are just tuning in, we're talking about a Makana North Shore Urgent Care Clinic in Princeville to be constructed. So this is not something that is moving into an existing building and building a building for just this. It will be designed for these kinds of services. It'll be state-of-the-art and pretty fabulous. And we are going to take a break, but before, don't let me forget, please, Dr. Kimball, before we end the show, to talk a little bit about how people can see what that clinic might look like, because people want a picture in their mind, and most folks from around Hawaii at one time or another have been in the Princeville area and would like to know what it's going to look like. We're pretty picky about our buildings up here, and I've been giving you a very hard time about the design of this one. So let's take a break, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes with a description of the building and also a little bit more about the community contribution part, the gift. Stay tuned. That was fun. Thanks, Dr. Kimball, for the suggestion of the song. We're rocking out in the studio. I want to remind folks that today's show is a discussion of a proposed clinic for the North Shore of Kauai. But this conversation is one that all rural communities are having and have had and will continue to have about our ability to respond to emergency situations, to disasters, and to resilience. One of the things that comes up in our disaster resilience plan for this area is how we receive treatment or did not after Hurricane Iniki. And my own personal story, as irritated as I was at the time, was that you couldn't get a tetanus shot because the Red Cross workers were instructed to only give it if you actually had a hole in your foot already. And I had my records. I knew when the last one I had received was, and I wanted one preventatively. So I needed a doc. I needed somebody that could make that decision with good information. And I think we were very, very fortunate that not very many people were hurt. We had several people hurt very badly, but not great numbers of people were hurt after Iniki and during Iniki. But there was an awful lot of lacerations, bruises, bangs on the head, and et cetera, as we were trying to clean up the mess. And we couldn't possibly drive to Lihue. That we didn't have the gas, the roads weren't clear, we didn't want to risk it. So to have something on the North Shore to help us out, it was really critical. And after Iniki, Dr. Jeff Goodman and the Kilauea Clinic opened immediately, and he was a hero. He was extraordinary. But again, he was in Kilauea, and there's a distance to travel for folks that are trying to come from Wainiha or Haena to get some to get some care. So I want to talk a little bit about the gift back, and I want to start by saying normally what I do before the break is announce the contest, but then, to be honest, I got so excited about the song that I forgot. So the quiz question is, where is the clinic to be located? So Dr. Kimball, you can't say that word in your next explanation of the kinds of services you're going to offer the community. And if someone wants to answer the quiz question of where the Makana North Shore Urgent Care Clinic is going to be located, I'll make sure that you get an appropriate prize, as I always do, and sometimes they're secret like they are today. So let's go to that piece, that, because this is kind of unusual. I mean, this is a nonprofit, and it's a nonprofit so that you can get and so that you can give, and the give part is interesting.
Yeah, and I think that having spent enough time on the North Shore, that there is always an underlying suspicion about people coming in with stuff, coming in to build stuff or to bring a business in. You know, what is their real motive? And I don't want to sound prematurely confident in asking for your confidence in us. I would love to just prove all this to the North Shore community over the years that are ahead. But I do want to make sure people understand we're not a group of physicians that have a whole bunch of money and we're just going to come in and try to make a killing on what we can on the North Shore community. I've had this concept in my mind for a number of years, and the whole component of folding into the community is very, very important to me, and we'll show that over the years. But what you're referring to is the fact that we could have easily come in and built an urgent care for profit, and the projections are we would do well. What we have done is taken what will be the majority of the revenue and had it put under the umbrella of a 501c3, so that it can't be for profit. Now, certainly the doctors will work for a market value wage, but the profits of the clinic, the stuff that would go into the pockets of the quote investors, will not go there. It will go into the community in the form of five outreach projects. the first one will be money set aside for underserved people who are unable to pay their medical bills, that based on a graduated scale, we will look into the needs of those on the North Shore who may be unemployed, may not be able to pay those bills, and based on their income, have a graduated scale to help support them. The next couple are focused on education. First, we will be setting up an outreach program for the local schools. We'll offer the opportunity to have one of our, as I said, board-certified level one trauma center emergency physicians come to the school and talk about being a healthcare worker, a doctor, a nurse, an allied healthcare provider, to encourage those kids to have the opportunity to be exposed to that, and then invite on a regular scheduled basis students who have real interest to come up and shadow us as we see patients, work out, you know, the privacy rules and things like that with people who come to see us. But there's no need to fear that we'll have a bunch of sixth graders in the room as you come in and get your your boil lanced or something like that. But we'll provide that opportunity for the students, and more of it will be going to the schools to serve them. Part of that will be a scholarship. We'll be offering, the details are yet to be worked out, but we'll be offering a scholarship to students on the North Shore who want to go into a health profession career, whatever that may be. As they graduate from high school, we'll have an application period, and then we will choose our board of directors. We'll choose that student and or potentially a couple of students a year to receive that scholarship. The other two educational components is that we've had discussions with the leadership at the Kauai Community College Nursing Program, and we'll be inviting those nursing students to come up and rotate with us, provide lectures from, again, a wide spectrum of emergency medicine physicians who have sub-expertise in disaster management, in EMS, in toxicology, a number of the subspecialties of emergency medicine. So it'd be a real, these are all adjunct professors to the University of Utah School of Medicine, so a real opportunity for those nurses. And then the one thing we're really excited about is working closely with EMS. We've had meetings with Chief Westerman and with the Princeville Fire Chief Alkai Lee regarding EMS training and simulation opportunities, teaching intubation and resuscitation or scene type stabilization and triage of patients, something that we do regularly in our curriculum here as emergency medicine doctors. And then finally, the fifth outreach effort will be directed at being a volunteer part of the disaster management for the North Shore. We will basically offer ourselves as medical providers on the North Shore to be on whatever committees we'd be welcome to be part of, whatever needs for planning. We do have, again, two specialists in disaster management that are certified in that, and we hope to have the clinic be a hub for post-disaster care. And to that end, we've spent some significant effort in the architectural planning to have rolling steel doors for the doors and windows, a 50,000 kilowatt generator. If you remember, after Aniki, it took at least 3 months to get power to the North Shore. We would hope that with this design, that it will be designed to withstand hurricane force winds, and then to have power immediately post disaster, and to be able to provide some of the things that you described were difficult to obtain, not only if you were injured during the disaster, but in the aftermath. If you think about it, I've done a lot of work with international disaster in my career. I was in Haiti after the earthquake there, and one of the things that was profound was that yes, there were many, many people that were killed and injured in Haiti, but at the same time, the regular problems with medical needs just continue right on. Babies keep needing to be born, people get asthma attacks, people have household accidents, and so that continual need for health care without the disaster continues to be a necessity. And as you said, without roads to get to Lihue or Kapaa, then all of a sudden we have a really significant problem, and we hope to be part of the solution for that. So that's a really brief and quick summary of those five outreach programs that the significant revenue generated from the clinic will go towards.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, we are so grateful and thankful for the physicians that we have in the North Shore and for their help and their aloha and their expertise for many, many years, and that will all continue. This is not replacing something. This is simply adding to. This is in support of those people who have worked hard for our community and continue to work hard for our community. This is to help all of that be better, get better, be better. I think, too, that the concept of having the nonprofit and to have some way to help the underserved. Any rural community is challenged by people who do not go see a doc because they know they can't pay the bill. And they wait and wait and wait until what could be a fairly easy procedure becomes complex and urgent. And I'm excited about the prospect of being able to say that the clinic offers that fairly much from the get-go, because that's definitely a need in our community. Not everyone even in this day and age, is covered, and not everyone makes good medical decisions, and sometimes it takes a good wallop on the head to get us to go see somebody, and then we have to see somebody right now. So I think for the purposes of this conversation, I want to remind folks too that these programs are all archived on the KKCR.org website. You just click on the archive button, and Laura's very good about getting them up fairly quickly. So these are usually up by Wednesday. And if there's something that we've said that triggers something in you, you can certainly, we'll make sure before we let Dr. Kimball go that he gives you good contact information. And you can always get a hold of me at the Hanle Watershed Hui, and that number is 826-1985. The number here at KKCR is 826-7771. I think to kind of get off on a lighter note, for me, what's this thing going to look like? When do we get to see drawings or pictures or something?
Well, you said that, and I thought, now how can I possibly get a picture to everybody? Their architectural plans are drawn. Let me give you a brief description of what we hope to construct and break ground for soon. It will be a building that, again, sits by. Oh, I can't say that. It'll be a building that has two stories. It will be built in a plantation style, and we've had input from a lot of community members, including Makaala, on this, and. It will be subdued and, hopefully not.
That would have been my contribution, that subdued part.
Yeah.
That was the part where I said, I do not want this thing glowing in the sun. I do not want it shining in the moon. I do not want it to be a hazard.
Yeah.
But we also, you also spent a fair bit of energy before I had said anything, I will acknowledge, not only trying to keep it modest, but to keep it self-contained, and also to help it be good for the place. So, that's really important. So it's going to be two stories, and the docs are going to stay in a house close by?
Yeah, so we'll have a physician home that'll be approximately 2.5 minutes away, and then we'll have a mid-level or nurse practitioner residence on the second floor of the clinic. So there will be... and I'll come back to that point in just a second. The first floor will be a 4,000 square foot building that has an education room along with the things that you would expect, four or five exam rooms, a resuscitation room, a radiology room, and a waiting room, and then the necessary parking for code on the North Shore. The thing that I wanted to come back to is we're going to go into this with a kind of a probationary type period of gauging the staffing, and we hope the North Shore community will bear with us on this, because it's hard to project just how much of a staff we're going to need at midnight versus middle of the day. We've talked to the folks at Maialona. We've talked to the folks down in Lihue at the urgent care down there. But this will be different. It'll be a different type of demographic, and so there'll be a little bit of flexing of hours, if you will. We'll probably start out open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with a then triageable staff member on the premises 24 hours a day, so that if we have somebody come in with a real emergency, at any hour after 8 p.m., the physician can be there within minutes to manage that. If we find that we're getting a steady flow of fairly significant medical issues through the night, then we'll adjust and we'll have the staffing ramp up. If we find that we're not getting anything remarkable over a five, six-month period at night, then we may flex differently in a different direction. But know that we will staff that clinic so that we're meeting the needs of the community as best we can.
So if I show up at 10:30 at night, I have no insurance and no money, and I'm banging on the door, this is a place I can at least be seen.
Yep, you'll at a minimum, starting out the day we open, we will have somebody there that opens that door and says, "Oh, you have a cough, a URI. We'll see you here now, but we'd like you to come back tomorrow morning, and we'll get X-rays and things like that." That may be a scenario. If you bang on the door and you've got a 7-centimeter laceration through your arm, and the bleeding is significant, that person will bring you in, get you triaged, and that physician will be there within a few minutes to suture you up. That will be the minimum starting out, and then based on how that flow of patient census goes, we will adjust over the months ahead.
It's a complicated concept, isn't it? Because we don't have such a thing, and so we don't know what the demand's going to be. And as word spreads and people realize that it's a service available, then you know it's going to change. And my perspective on this is just to have a human being there that answers the door. You know, from talking to Aukai Lee at the fire department, that they're the ones that catch this now, and I know they've given you some good data and information on what that demand is. But that's what we do now. We go to the fire department. If it's something that we're really concerned about, we bang on their door, and they can't do a whole lot. So they're frustrated and wish that they could do more, and they're going to be able to do more two ways. One, they're going to get taught how to do a little bit more, and two, they can send folks right over to the clinic and get that kind of care. And I know that Chief Westerman and others have said, "Oh, this is going to be so helpful," because it's scary and it's frustrating for a fireman to answer the door in the middle of the night and have somebody present in front of them that's in a life-threatening situation. It's terrifying. And although that's not going to be the frequent, we hope, and common, we hope, scenario, it is a scenario, and it does happen. And the other thing I want to just mention briefly too is we haven't talked about the near drownings, and I know from having lived on North Shores all my life that near drownings are way too frequent and can be very, very serious. So even when someone is pulled out of the water, rescued, saved, and maybe resuscitated on the beach, and then has to wait for a transport for the ambulance, has to wait to get to care, it's a long ride for somebody who's got a lung full of salt water. And and I know that the fire department's going to be very happy to have a place a little bit closer to take that person before the rest of the ride.
Yeah, I think you know those kind of situations, as we know, they're so frequent on the North Shore. And you know, the first and foremost thing that we're going to do is help the skill set of the first responders pick up to a level where they will, with time, be able to manage those patients even better. Again, we don't want to have the perception that we will be an ambulance destination, but absolutely, these are the physicians that are going to be in this clinic manage difficult airways all day long. They work in level one trauma centers. If we have someone that is in, you know, a situation, even in the back of an ambulance, that they just can't get an airway, or they need help with an airway, we want them to know that we're there. We'll be there. We'll be ready for them. We'll have the capacity to help them with that. And you know, that's not the golden hour. Those are the first few minutes of hypoxia that can make the difference between someone living or dying, or surviving with significant neurologic injury or not. And we want to be appropriately part of increasing the capacity of both EMS and medical care on the North Shore to have those near drownings have better outcomes.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate reality and fact of life for us here on the North Shore to have the reputation and the history, the stats of having so many drownings and near drownings. And for those of us who have been here for a while, we're keenly aware of how much more often the fire engines are screaming down the highway out to the end of the road because of somebody in trouble in the water. So, you know, as drownings can affect anybody. It doesn't have to be a visitor. It can be someone who's a fisherman who's lived here all their lives. Drownings and near drownings is everybody's problem, and everybody can be vulnerable to it. It's a feature of it's a feature of those of us that are island people that think that we can, you know, we're comfortable and safe in the water. And even us getting that little slap of reality when the big wave comes and you're under the water, blub. And it can happen. I wanna thank you and wind this up a little bit and ask for contact information for you and or the clinic. It's clear the one thing you haven't done is build a website because we can't see the pictures of your drawings, but
It's coming. It's in the works.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel better. I'm a picture kind of girl. I like the pictures. And I think folks are interested. They clearly are. They've shown up to have conversations with you, and they want to know more. And this is developing. And you're hoping to break ground this fall. Well, Dr. Kimbo, we're in fall. So I'm assuming it's coming fairly soon. And I want to make sure that people know how to get their concerns addressed or questions answered. How can they get a hold of you?
I'd be glad to speak to anyone that might have questions. My email address, you introduced me. I go by Ted, but I'm actually an Edward, so my email address is Edward, E-D-W-A-R-D, dot Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L, at H-S. C as in Health Science Center dot Utah, U-T-A-H dot E-D-U.
Okay.
A long email, sorry about that. Edward.Kimball at hsc.utah.edu.
And that's
probably the best way.
Okay, that's fine. And I understand. And I think you're a practicing physician. Folks can't expect to be calling you during your work hours to talk about something over here. So we appreciate your calling in today and appreciate your time. I know that I don't know exactly how busy you are, but I have a hint of how busy you are. And thank you, and hope that the next time you're planning to be on island, we can sit down and have a conversation about how it's going and what's going. We can get an update on the development of this very exciting project for the North Shore of Kauai. Mahalo for coming on the air with us.
Mahalo to you too, Makau. I appreciate your time and support of this project, and we look forward to talking or answering any questions that may come through you from your listening audience.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kimbo. Okay, so folks, I want to remind you that the Newell's Shearwater fallout season, because the baby birds are fledging, begins tomorrow. This means for you, no lights pointed at the sky, no lights pointed down onto water, no lights pointed out to sea, please. We've had a recent disaster at Koke'e with a number of birds having fallen because of some bright green lights up there in the fog, making it worse. We can't afford to lose these birds, folks. They're crashing. We're losing way too many, and we soon won't have any. These birds are the fisherman's friend. They show us where the fish stay, and we need these birds. We need each and every one. So please, please, please take care with your lights, even lights inside your home in a big glass window if you're on the coast. Even those lights matter. So please, please take care. The second reminder I want to give you is to remind folks that for Hanalei, The Environmental Protection Agency Department of Health funding for the cesspool replacement program is coming and will probably be in place in October. And for homeowner-occupied units that are near waterways, ditches, away, the river, the bay, we can help you pay half the cost for the installation of a really good new kind of septic system. You're going to call the Watershed Hui for more information on that program. The number at the Watershed is 826-1985. And not last and not least, well, maybe last but not least, is we all know we're in the hurricane season. Oh, boy, do we know, right? So be prepared. If you have questions about what you need to be prepared, please call the Kauai Civil Defense Agency. Their number is 241-1800. 241-1800. If you're listening to us in other parts of Hawaii, some of you folks didn't think you were in the path of hurricane, and in the last several weeks, you've decided that you might be. So contact your local civil defense and find out what the protections are, what the plans are, what the evacuation routes are, what kinds of things you need to know and do in your area. Oahu's been slammed with heavy rains and floods. Maui's been slammed. The Big Island of Hawaii has been slammed. It's been a rough year, and we're just starting. This is just the beginning of the season. So let's get through this together. We've got a long way to go, but if you're on the north shore of Kauai, please check out the Hanalei Tuhaena Disaster Resilience Plan. It's on the website of the Hanalei Watershed Hui. It's a good plan. Gives you lots of good ideas. And we have a communications committee, which is established and organizing different kinds of communications. So we've been there before. Most of us have been down this route, and we know what we needed. The good news is there's lots of way cool new stuff out there. Itty-bitty little handheld radios that can talk far and reach far. So technology is helping us out, and we need to help each other and ourselves. Aloha. Mahalo for listening.